بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أرواح المؤمنين في السماء السابعة ينظرون إلى منازلهم في الجنة. حضرت أبو هريرة رضي الله عنه narrated رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said: The soul of the believers are in the seventh heaven. From there they look at the places which they will receive in Jannah. When it comes to barzakh, then the barzakh and akhirat, then they have different manazir, they have different manzars, they have different scenes that take place. Now we think of it to be constricted and restricted only to the qabr, but there is no confinement as far as time is concerned, as far as space is concerned. There is no restriction. There are different scenes. But we are fortunate in the different hadith, it shows us the different scenes that take place when a person is in barzakh, and then a person is in akhirat, person is in jannah. All these different scenes in different ahadith, these are encapsulated, and we get an idea of what benefits and what enjoyment a person enjoys as far as the qabr is concerned, which is actually what is barzakh, what this person is enjoying and what a believer goes through. All the different scenes are presented to us from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there are countless narrations related about the barzakh. We quoted only 27 as examples in this particular chapter, where we're speaking about the physical and spiritual bounties of the grave. So here, Mawlana Hakimul Ummat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi is saying that we have quoted only 27 in this chapter. These ahadith and others in previous chapters clearly describe the comfort, honor, esteem and hospitality which will be extended to the deceased. The various physical and spiritual bounties can be classified as follows. So just to summarize all the different bounties a person can enjoy in, as far as barzakh is concerned, as far as what the deceased can enjoy: number one, protection against difficulties; number two, the place being spacious; next, acceptance in the sight of Allah Ta'ala; number four, being in the refuge of helpers; number five, the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala; number six, having a companion who provides solace. When a person is in the qabr, they explain that his a'mal come there as his sati, as his companion, his different a'mal, salat, tilawat of Quran, zakat, courtesy and kindness to the family members and the seniors, all these come to him, maintaining family ties, etc., all come to the protection of this person, and they act as his companion. Having light in the darkness, reading the Quran, performing salah, meeting with friends and relatives, experiencing affinity with those who come nearby, abundance of food and drink, especially the food and drink of Jannah, having a plush carpet, having exclusive clothing. We did the hadith before, but the person now, announcement is made, dress him in the gardens of Jannah, dress him in the garments of Jannah, whatever the garments of Jannah, the beauty. You can imagine what the clothing of Jannah will be. Sometimes we get taken aback by the beautiful clothing of this world. You can imagine the clothing of Jannah. So here it says, having exclusive clothing, having an airy place, especially to which the breeze of Jannah blows, having a garden in which one can stroll. Sometimes a person got a nice garden in his yard, he likes to take a walk and look at the different roses and look at the plants and look at the flowers and look at the different colors. Here a person will have a garden of Jannah, having a garden in which one can stroll, having news which brings joy. Good news now is coming to this person and it brings joy to him. Being able to recognize each other, having a magnificent abode. Can there be any place more magnificent than the trees of Jannah? Being able to see one's place in Jannah from the grave. All these are mentioned and described in the previous quoted ahadith. They encompass all items of comfort and luxury. A point which is clearly proven from these ahadith is the erroneous thinking of people that the deceased lies helpless and abandoned in his grave. In fact, a person will receive far more and far better items of comfort and luxury in his grave than what he could have accumulated in this world. If this person had all the wealth of this world, all the money of this world, whatever luxuries and whatever beauty he could have accumulated in this world, what he'll get in the qabr will far exceed whatever was possible for him to have accumulated in this world. Yes, there are certain things of comfort which will not be experienced in the grave. Example, marriage. The reason for this is that this is a world which is overwhelmingly spiritual, while physical and emotional feelings are virtually non-existent. This is why there is no need for marriage. When a person goes to Jannah on the day of resurrection, he will get his physical body back, those emotions which were non-existent in the grave will be rekindled and will be given the doe-eyed damsels of Jannah. As for food and drink, the deceased can still have a desire for it in his grave, because even a weak body in this world has a desire for it. Example, an infant or a chronically ill person who is on his deathbed. This is why the hadith states that the souls of believers will be in the stomachs of the green birds which will be flying in Jannah. Whatever was mentioned in this chapter stems from the different conditions of the deceased. Some of the conditions that came to the deceased were either because of his own actions, or they were because of some action that he did, but it was beyond his volition. So this is what explained in this last part. Some of the conditions are within a man's choice. Example, embracing Iman, doing good deeds as laid down by the Shariat. Other conditions are out of a man's control. Example, passing away in a foreign land. This person took the journey and he went to the distant foreign land, but it wasn't in his choice to pass away there. It was the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that caused him to pass away. It wasn't his choice, but still Allah Pak will reward him for that. Allah Pak will cause his qabr, as we did, to expand from the distance of where his house is right up to the distant land where he took his last footstep. Other conditions are out of a man's control. Example, passing away in a foreign land, passing away on a Friday. No person could have had the control that I'm going to pass away on a Friday. This was the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He caused a person to pass away on a Friday. Dying account of a stomach ailment, he couldn't have desired and chosen. He could have desired, but he couldn't have chosen that I want to pass away with a stomach ailment that causes me to become a shaheed. It is really Allah Ta'ala's grace that He rewards us even for things which are beyond our control. It wasn't in our control, but Allah Pak is still giving us a reward for that. What a merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, these conditions come to an end with the deceased. If they come to an end with him, the reward which are promised for them also come to an end with his death. Conversely, Allah Pak's mercy stipulated two other ways through which rewards do not end with the death of a person. What is mentioned here now is when a person does good a'mal, then when he passes away, now his actions now finish. For example, his salah that he performed, his action finishes, so now he's not getting any more reward for performing salah. His tilawat of Quran finishes, so now he's not getting any more reward for tilawat of Quran, etc., etc., for all good a'mal. It finishes there. However, these actions come to an end with the deceased. With him dying, his actions come to an end. If they come to an end with him, the rewards which are promised also come to an end. Conversely, Allah Pak's mercy stipulated two other ways through which rewards do not end with the death of a person. Rather, the rewards continue for eternity. In fact, the reward increases in quality and quantity with each passing moment. As the time is passing, the quality and the quantity of those actions are improving. One way, Ash-Shabari Tanvir Sahib Rahmatullah explains, one way which Allah Ta'ala laid down is the doing of certain actions which rewards a person continues receiving even after his death. And this is like what we know as Sawab-e-Jariya. A person contributed towards a masjid, for example, and now after he passed away, people are still going to the masjid and they're still reading salah in the masjid. This person, even after his death in the qabr, is getting reward. He's getting his income, he's getting his dividend from that stream. Maybe he contributed towards one borehole project. People are drinking water from there. So long as people are benefiting, he's still getting dividends coming in his qabr from there. So different projects this person did for Sawab-e-Jariya, this person is still getting. So this is one way he mentions. And now he explains, the other way is when a person did not even do certain actions when he was alive, but he gets the rewards by other people carrying out these actions. The Shariat refers to this type as Al-Baqiyat Al-Salihat, good actions whose rewards continue. The second type is known as Isalu Sawab, the conveying of rewards to the deceased. For example, now he didn't do anything, he didn't make any project for Sawab-e-Jariya, or he didn't do anything that would cause him, but in his qabr, people are sending Isalu Sawab to him. People are reading for him and they're sending. As Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi Ma'riful Quran, very nicely he explains it. He said that it was something that he actually did in his life. He did it that Allah Pak now is causing people after his life to remember him and to read for him and to send for him and to make Isalu Sawab for him. It was perhaps something that he did in his life that Allah Pak is softening people's heart after he's passed away, that now you read and you send for him. It wasn't something totally isolated. Some good action and the barakat of that action, Allah Pak's kindness and mercy on him, that even after he's passed away, people are sending Isalu Sawab to him. Now, this is what you call a true Hakim and a very, very learned person. Hazrat Mullah Tanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi saying, I consider it appropriate to quote a hadith on these two ways of earning rewards. And then he says, we learn of a third way, of even another way, of this person getting rewarded in the qabr, not from sawab e jariya, not isalu sawab, not something that he did in his life. He's saying, I consider it, and he explains another third type where a person gets reward in his qabr. We learn of a third way in which the deceased accrues benefits without the influence of his actions, nor through the actions of any living person. This third way is the sole and absolute rahmat and mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak, even in the qabr, this person is nothing, but because of the mercy of Allah Pak, Allah Pak wants him to benefit in the qabr. There's another way this person continues to benefit in the qabr. We will quote a hadith on this third type towards the end of this chapter. May Allah subhanAllah give us tawfiq of practicing and doing a'mal, such actions that will cause us to benefit in our qabr. My Ustad Hazrat Mufti Sahib, he mentioned that Allah Pak has been so kind to us in this dunya, in this world. If we really think about it, that when we were in the womb of our mothers, then who took care of us there? That we had no access to the outside world, we never used the brains, our own brains and our own minds. It was only Allah Pak that had taken care of us there. When we were born, He had appointed a mother that took so much of care of us, a father that took care, people to take care of us. And throughout our life, there was always people to take care of us. And the system and nizam that He created was to take care of us. What distance away He put the sun from the earth, what oxygen levels He put in the air, what system He put in our bodies in terms of our heart, in terms of our lungs, in terms of our kidneys, in terms of our blood flowing, in terms of our brains and mind and eye. So many different systems Allah Pak had created to take care of us in this world. So he says, do you think Allah Pak will leave us stranded in the qabr? Allah Pak won't do that. He'll create even more systems there to take care of this person. So a person should never become despondent. Think of how Allah Pak took care of him in this world. Allah Pak will take even more care of him in the qabr. So this qabr is something to actually look forward to, not something to be frightened of. Allah Pak give us tawfiq of making amal. Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.